If you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Beavs, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you on this glorious Tuesday. A wet one. It's a wet week. A lot of snow up in the mountains. If you're a person that loves mountaining,
so much bleeping snow.
Yeah, all the snow, which is good.
I'm sure that's what Tony Montana said.
What's up back now?
So much snow. But yeah, no, I don't know about you. I was running some errands last night.
You were,
and it was cold as hell out. I got in the car. My car said 39 degrees, and I was like, "What is this?" Yeah, I was like. I went out, I let the dogs out late last night. I want to say 11:30 midnight or so.
Who let the dogs out?
You beat me to it.
when it's real dark out there, because one of our lights in the backyard like mm-hmm. doesn't pick the dogs up all that often. Timer or the IR thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use my cell phone light so they can see. There were like flakes falling in the rain.
Yeah, well, there's a big hailstorm when I was driving.
And I was like, oh, I don't like this.
I was driving from here to Old Banks yesterday, and between, like, Cornell, Bethany, and 185th on Highway 26, it was a whiteout. It was like...
Of hail?
Hail. Like, big old hail everywhere. Cars were pulling over to the side, which, that's the right move. If you can't handle it, move off to the side. It's okay. Safety first.
Interestingly enough,
yeah,
that part of Beaverton / regional Beaverton.
That's unincorporated Washington County.
Yeah. Elevation there, anywhere from 700 to 1,000 feet.
See, there you go.
So you're rising up there.
There you go.
You're not quite hitting the full. But you think about that, from there to the waterfront is 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
Because waterfront is
you go over
quite literally
hill, yeah.
sea level.
All right. Safety first.
Mm.
Oregon State.
Speaking of safety first, know what you're getting into before you turn on the game.
That was a tough one, man.
Look, man, coming into this season, mm-hmm. it looked like my Falcons were going to be a decent little academy squad.
They're not.
They have underperformed drastically based on expectations. Yeah. They are not good, and they're very injured, and they humiliated Oregon State.
28-0 was the score.
I mean, that look, playing academies, it's its own beast. It is. But my God, you got embarrassed by the worst academy this year, and they don't have a guy that breaks your back like Army and Navy do.
Yeah. I mean, that was about as bad as it could go for Oregon State. Especially when you have the game start the way it did with one of those death march drives, right? A true academy drive. You go 11 plays, 75 yards, touchdown, and then you go 3-and-out. Like, that is, that was it. 18 plays run in the first half for Oregon State. 18.
Oh, man.
Period. That's the
word you're looking for is
start.
Gross.
It was, and that was one of those games where for Oregon State, you're like, this year was about, all right, can we build hope? Can we keep hope alive? Can we keep some sort of momentum going in the right direction? Because it was all heading in a positive direction last year before Jonathan Smith left, right? Even with the future of the conference in flux, you're like, hey, we've got a coach. We've got talent that we have developed here. And obviously, Jonathan Smith leaving and the mass exodus that followed, that hurt Oregon State. But then you come out the start of the year and you start 4-1. And because of all the defections, the war of attrition was going to be one that Oregon State was not going to be able to win. They needed to stay healthy and they needed to be healthy in order for them to sustain success. And the amount of injuries they got, starting really in that second game of the year against San Diego State. And then they continued to pile up against Oregon. And then you started to see slowly the wheels were falling off despite two wins after that Oregon game. And this was far and away the lowest point that you've seen from this Oregon State team. Because 28-0, the fact that you could not get anything going, it did not look like you were in rhythm in any sense, really, throughout the course of the game. That's a tough pill to swallow if you're the Beavs. You only throw for 106 yards, you rush for 69, which is nice, but at 2.9 yards per carry, you accumulated 177 yards of offense. That leaves you with a tough, bitter taste in your mouth, right? You take into account penalty yards, where you had 3 for 25, clean game, academy game, clean game. The success just wasn't there. 2 of 10 on third down, 1 of 4 on fourth down. The offense is anemic right now. And for Trent Bray, he has a monumental task ahead of him, because it is to keep this thing on the rails, and it starts with that belief.
No, I don't think anything. I mean, there's been some different things. I mean, where we're playing with a lot of guys that at the time.
Uh-oh, it stopped.
You know, as coaches, you definitely have to. I've always said as a coach, you know, the players' successes are theirs and their failures are ours. So we got to look at it that way. You know, how do we continue to improve as coaches as well? Because that's definitely, it's never just on the coaches, on the players. It's a group. And we all win and lose together. So we all have to look at what do we need to get better at, whether I'm a coordinator and how am I setting up the game plan and calling in game. Is that giving us the best chance for success? Then at each position group, you know, what are the things that I'm teaching them that we're not getting done that I got to make sure I emphasize more? That's a constant process that, again, when you lose like we've lost the last 5 weeks, it's never just one thing. And it's certainly not just the players. So absolutely, I challenge myself and the coaches to come up with a better way to get these guys to perform at the level we know they're capable of.
I appreciate that out of Trent.
How you've lost the last 5 weeks.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's been rough is an understatement, because just looking at the way, when you say that, the way that we've lost the last 5 weeks, that takes into account the first one of this losing streak was that game against Nevada where didn't McCoy have 4 interceptions in that game? But you still had a chance, even you had a puncher's chance to win that game at the end, and you were on the road. And then UNLV, which is now a ranked team, you lose by a score to UNLV. And then it really was the Cal game where the wheels started to fall off of this team. And I appreciate, though, Trent Bray. You know, it's what we're doing as coaches too, right? Like when you have the failures pile up the way that they have with this team this year, and well, this week especially, there was no good out of it. Like Air Force had the ball for 41 minutes.
Yeah, and you had Marysville, Washington's own Dylan Carson ran the ball himself more than Oregon State did.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a tough time. Outgained, you're not just in the run game, you expect to get outrushed by Air Force, but they threw for more yards than you. They pick up 23 first downs to your 9 first downs in the entire game.
They death marched you for 45 minutes.
I think it was 1 first down in the first half. Is that right?
It was 28-0. The only thing that underscores is that Air Force doesn't have the athletes to punch it in over and over and over again. That's like, you're lucky that Air Force doesn't have a guy like Army or Navy does right now, because you might have had 50 hung up on you because they couldn't stop them.
That game was discouraging by any and every measure for Oregon State.
With the way the season started, yes, the battle of attrition and all that, like, there's no excuse to losing to Air Force. There's just not.
Well, yeah.
There's not. There's no.
Not like that.
Not like this.
Not like that.
No.
Not like that.
No. Look,
I mean, they support the troops.
Look, an academy team, an academy team can be good. Look at Army and Navy this year. Yeah. They can be good. They can be disruptive. They can be a real pain in the rear. But when they're not and they don't have a dude back there that is killing you and you still get dog walked like this, you have there's no looking at what Air Force did. It's looking at what you couldn't do.
This is a in the mirror game.
Yeah, that is all this is. And look, B-fans, I know you guys are mad at me because I'm USC guy and blah, 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 blah. I got nothing but love for you. I want you guys to end up on your feet. I want you to do well. This is bad. Like, this is really, really bad.
Bleak.
I
bleak.
The only way this is worse is if you're losing to, like, App State. Legitimately.
No, App State's a bowl team. Not anymore.
But you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Like you're losing to an FCS
Idaho
team.
State.
Yeah, like, that's...
That one, actually, this one did feel... It was comparable, and it felt like the Eastern Washington loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Brighter days ahead. As Orange Joe guy says, baseball season's right around the corner. Right?
Basketball
team's playing.
Let's hope they're good.
All right. It could be worse. You could be Philly.
Ugh.
Next on the Fan. The Philadelphia 76ers are in last place in the Eastern Conference. Joel Embiid, Paul George, and Tyrese Maxey have yet to play on the floor together.
Mildly problematic.
That seems bad. They are 2-11, and they lost Monday. That would be yesterday. Hmm. To the Miami Heat, 106-89. Boy. Now we have reports that there was a team meeting. Your players-only meetings, always good. Even better this early in the season. But... apparently, the buzz coming out of that locker room following that team meeting was Tyrese Maxey going at Joel Embiid for his leadership and his punctuality. Apparently, Maxey called out Embiid because Embiid has been late several times to team events, practice, you know, everything associated with the 76ers. Embiid injured, working his way back, but also not really taking things all too seriously in Tyrese Maxey's mind.
Look, this is something that when things are going good, it's Joel. He's eccentric. He's, you know, he never is there on time. He's always the last to arrive. He likes to make an entrance. Da, 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 da. When things are going bad, Joel doesn't care. It's, you know, he's disrespectful to other people's feelings. Blah, blah. It's eye of the beholder stuff. I'm a lunatic when it comes to the whole, like, being late to stuff. Like, it makes my skin crawl. I do not like it. I will never, ever, ever be late to... I don't like it. No, hard pass. It bothers me when people are late to stuff and hold everything else up. It's one of those things, though, that when it piles up, like, it's very easily one of the first things you'd be like, can you just get somewhere on time? Like, can that just be a thing? And for those that don't know behind the scenes, there are a lot of players in the NBA that are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a lot of people in general that are like this. Yeah.
Look, without throwing any names out there of young players, none currently on the team, but over the last couple of years, there were some guys that were people loved and were just tardy as hell and just got in trouble and got fined and had to deal with it. Like, and that happens all over the league. And a lot of it is young kids being irresponsible. Your MVP not setting the standard and setting the tone, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem. Tyrese Maxey, did you see the way the 76ers rolled out the red carpet for him when they gave him his extension?
No.
Oh, my God. They set up like a whole exhibit with the city. Like, they had like former like Philadelphia 76ers legends, and like they had them like a walkthrough exhibit of like, did you see what the Nike, I think it was Nike, did for Victor Wembanyama when they had like the interactive displays? Yeah. They did the same kind of thing for Tyrese Maxey. He means a lot. No, like, he means a lot to that organization, like as the culture, the heart. Like,
Didn't the Clippers do that with Blake Griffin, then trade him?
Yeah.
They raised his number, retired his number kind at his deal? Extension. Yeah. No, they literally did it and said, this is what's going to happen, and then traded him the next year.
The 6 months later.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, new front office, that'll happen.
Whoop.
Yeah. But no, like, they love Tyrese Maxey. Like, he's universal approval rating, right? And he loves Joel. But I think when you're looking at everything, you can't get the big picture right until you get the little things right.
Yeah.
And look, they could have kept this quiet, but they wanted it out there.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, as part of the reporting, Embiid accepted the criticism. I mean, when you're notoriously late, those people often do say, oh, yeah, you know, really sorry. Then nothing really ever changes. No. Something's got to change there.
He was abysmal last night.
But he wasn't he sick?
Yeah. Look, I'm a big Joel Embiid guy because the talent is otherworldly.
Yeah.
But it's not Zion yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, well, it's not Zion because he won an MVP.
Yeah, and like his production, like, and look, and a lot of the same criticisms hold true for Joel, as far as being in shape and
availability. Best ability is availability.
And you know, when you're huffing and puffing up and down the floor, the whole point of having Tyrese and having Paul George is like some of that burden can be taken off of you, but doesn't mean you can't, like stop delivering. So. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what's a worse story in the NBA right now as far as like, oh my God, if it's the Bucks, if it's the 76ers, or if it's the Pelicans. You have three stories in those three organizations for very different reasons, are all in awful, awful spots.
It does appear that Milwaukee's playing a little better.
We'll see.
Damian Giannis had a night.
They should. They should. That's the problem, right?
They should have multiple nights.
It, like every night should be a night. And so... You know, but
all right.
Yeah, I don't really know what you do with that.
All right, which team are you out on the most then? The Cavaliers at 15-0 who played the Celtics tonight.
Is it weird that I think they might win tonight?
The Cavs?
Yeah, they've got so much good juju going, man. Like it. When I talk about coaching in the NBA, where it matters the most is putting the right people in the right spots to be the most impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Atkinson might be the best in the NBA at that.
He's doing a good job, man.
That's why he took those Brooklyn Nets teams that were just kind of like the ragtag.
That were supposed to do nothing, and then they treated him so poorly.
Oh, yeah, no, they threw him out the door because Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving didn't want that. Yeah.
Well, he's got a team that believes in him now. He's doing a really good job. 15-0.
Mm-hmm.
15-0.
Best start in franchise history.
Yeah, one of the best starts in NBA history.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
It allows for when the injuries do start hitting, for you to absorb quite a bit.
Yeah.
So.
Runway.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, it's time for our worst day on the web. Got a couple different ones to go with you. I teased a couple that I went that I didn't get yesterday. One of which, if you leave your drugs behind, don't go back and ask somebody if you can help you find them.
Oh, okay.
Just throwing that out there. We'll get to that more coming up on our worst day on the web. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Stupid criminal stories are some of my absolute favorites. Like, just the best. You want to go to England and hear about some stupid criminals?
Absolutely, I do.
So these two dingleberries... they left a giant bag of ketamine on a train.
What is ketamine?
A little Special K.
Yeah,
it's
what is it?
It's a, shuts you down. What do they call it? An antidepressant.
Barbiturate?
Yes. I believe it's a barbiturate.
What'd you call me?
Mm-hmm. All right.
But yeah, they left a whole bag of it.
Okay.
A whole bag of it. And like... It looks like a gallon Ziploc bag full.
Mm.
Like, that's what it looks like. That turns out to be only between 25 and 50,000, which seems like a wide number.
Oh, it's an anesthetic.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it
knocks you out.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's why I thought it was a barbiturate, so I was wrong on that one. But it, that was just the kind of the beginning of this. So they left it on a train, and they contacted the folks on the train, the security personnel, to help them find it.
Yeah, hey, can you find my bags of illegal drugs?
Can you find my drugs?
Yeah. Can you find my ketamine? Yikes.
Yikes, dog.
So they say, yeah, we found it. Why don't you come on down?
Basically, yeah, and they'd already contacted the cops because they found a bag of drugs, and they're like, this doesn't look medicinal.
That is the worst.
Again, stupid criminal stories.
Or the best. It's the best.
This was in November of 2019. Okay?
Okay.
The reason why we're talking about this now is an investigation went on for 4 years. They basically let this guy go. They like, oh, yeah, here you go. They let it go. And they followed him. And they built this whole case on him. And it turned
through
out—
through COVID.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think the statute of limitations should reset after, like, pre- and post-COVID world. I don't remember anything in 2019.
No, these guys were apparently part of a large drug smuggling ring from Portugal into England. After a four-year investigation, they arrested one of the guys last week and found drugs and drug paraphernalia, several cell phones, and more than $2,000 in cash. They discovered he and his partner were central figures of a major organized crime ring that imported drugs from Portugal.
The country, not the man.
Yeah. They ended up being charged with counts of conspiracy to supply cocaine and MDA, or MDMA, Molly. Five counts of conspiracy to supply ketamine and cannabis, and were jailed for 6 years and 3 months.
They never saw it coming.
No, they also were charged with conspiracy to supply cocaine, MDMA, three counts of conspiracy to supply cannabis on top of that, and another one of ketamine with a count of possession with intent to supply cannabis. With another 5 years and 10 months was added on top of that.
It took them this long to build this case, though. Like, it feels like there was probably a lot of bad that was done before they actually—
in that four-year period?
Yeah.
And not only that, like, they found him with a kilo of marijuana. Which, look, I'm not judging you. Some of you listening right now probably have in your homes.
Yeah, I don't know how much that is. It's a brick?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Again, we all know somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We all know somebody.
You just got to keep living, man.
Yeah.
L-I-V-I-N.
Well, we all know those people.
We all know. Like, look, is it an overabundance? Yeah.
Yeah,
but they got a deal on it somewhere, or it fell off the back of a truck.
God, that's going to take you like 2 days to go through.
Right?
That's funny. The Vancouver Forward text line, ketamine was used originally as a horse tranquilizer, I believe. Works good on people, too. Not that I know from experience.
Yeah.
That text coming in. Mm. Yeah, I don't... Like, that's like down the lines of... Like cattle steroids, too. Mm. It's like, not good for a horse, good for me. That is a bold move to be the first person that's like, yeah, I'll give that a whirl.
Turned out they weren't wrong.
They weren't.
Turns out it was like the purest form of testosterone you could get.
Yeah, yeah. Those race horses were jacked up on it for years.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that turns out that worked. But again, this is your stupid criminal case. I wanted to keep this going a step further because this also happened in the UK. Look, I don't know how this happens, but I'm just scrolling through and I'm reading through my international papers and such to find my headlines because those are usually the best. A kid showed up to show and tell. What did you think would be one of the worst things to bring to show and tell?
Well, outside of like a gun,
you're not far off.
Yeah.
Y'all will buy some drugs.
Not that direction.
Yeah. I think those two are probably the worst, but, I saw one of those, Instagram, the little comedy bits there where kid brought one of mom's toys to,
oh no,
to show and tell. I think that would be pretty bad. I think that might be,
was it a lightsaber that vibrated?
That's a massager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would probably be the worst.
Oh, God. Can you imagine being a teacher?
I guess it can also be called a weapon.
And, like, you don't pre-clear it. And, like, I brought this.
Yeah. My kids did not have show and tell. Like, neither one of my children had show and tell.
Really?
Like, yeah. They didn't do it at their school. Yeah. Hmm. Neither one of them.
Did you have a career day?
No. No.
Interesting.
Mm-mm, not yet, at least. No, none of that.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my oldest, like, kindergarten, her kindergarten year was the first year. It was COVID.
Oh, yeah. So you don't.
The 2019-20 school year.
Yeah.
And that probably distorted. Like, that lopped off the back half of her first year of school and then, like, the front half of her first year of school. First grade. So.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was a bummer. But, yeah, I had no show and tell. No career day either.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What did they bring?
A historic incendiary explosive device.
Oh, they brought a bomb.
From the description of it, sounds like might have been like British thermite.
I don't know what that means.
Thermite basically burns like hotter than the sun.
Oh,
it's white.
Cool.
I believe thermite's white phosphorus, if I'm not mistaken.
Why in the world would you take that to show and tell?
Because
I'm gonna blow this school up.
It's metal oxide. So yeah, it's it gets dumb hot. Like it's the way, like if the simplest way to explain this is, like, if you're talking about like special operators, if you're in the Middle East and you're conducting operations and
your microphone's breaking.
My mic is completely jacked.
They don't want you to talk about
this.
There
we go. But if you're conducting operations and you find a vehicle that looks like it's made up like a IED, like a suicide bomber vehicle, thermite is what you throw in the car to basically burn it at a billion degrees and completely destroy everything. It'll catch metal on fire.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like something that should be around a house, let alone in the reach of a child.
No, and it looks like, it sounds like, you see, what was it? Not Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
I've never seen Hot Fuzz.
Oh, okay. Well, they go out to this old British guy's house and they find some guns, and then he's like, oh yeah, I've got all of this stuff. And he kicks open the door. Inside there's like an entire armory of World War II weapons. And they're like, where did you get this? Like, oh, it was over here. And then like around the corner is like an underwater mine. Like, as dumb as that whole scene sounds, like, there's stuff that's just left over from warfare,
yeah,
particularly in Europe.
You don't pack it up and bring it home with you.
Yeah, well, a lot of people did. A lot of people did. Like, yeah. Here's a dirty little secret. Like, when we were like going into Afghanistan or into Iraq in the war there, I know a lot of people that sent home AK-47s in pieces.
Oh, okay.
And just, you know.
That doesn't seem like that you should be doing that.
No,
seems,
I mean,
against the rules.
It is. All but right. Yeah, you would be amazed what goes through the U.S. mail system.
I don't think I would be. Oh man.
But they completely evacuated the school, and they sent out a press release like, hey, everything's fine. The kid apparently wasn't like trying to do anything malicious. They thought it was like, you know, and they aren't clear whether it was an inert explosive.
They just know that
it was at one point in time an explosive device. So
I have a feeling that teacher was like, yeah, we saw something like this coming. You know, your kid's like, yeah, all
it's
right.
A little girl.
It's a little girl.
Upset of the year.
Wow.
Upset of the year.
All right. Was she like super smart? I was like, this could blow the whole school up. Like, whoa, okay.
Oh, again, it was like a show and tell thing. And like, oh, hey, here's something cool, like a piece of history. Like, what do you think would happen here?
Is it Ron Swanson's kid? Remember he gave a landmine to a kid that came for career day to the Parks and Rec office?
if I went into, or if I sent my kid, my hypothetical kid, to a class with an inert hand grenade,
uh-huh,
like the pin's pulled out, it's hollowed out, like, do you think that it would cause a kerfuffle? Because I think it would.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Even though it's completely
disarmed,
there's nothing about it other than it's a heavy piece of metal.
Yeah, it's a heavy piece of metal. Yeah.
But people would freak out about it.
They absolutely would. Because you're bringing a hand grenade to school.
I mean, have you ever seen like the little hand grenade you can get for your desk?
Oh, yeah, the paperweight hand grenade things. I've seen the hand grenade lighters, too.
Yeah, but like, it's literally like a M82 grenade that's just been drilled out.
Yeah.
Like, if I sent that to school with my kid.
No, it's not okay.
Right?
Yeah, not okay.
And again, like,
not all right to do.
I don't think it's terribly different than bringing mom's toy without the batteries.
Things are certainly getting destroyed.
All right.
No, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll let Jeff end on that one. All right. That's our worst day on the web.
Coming up next, the mic cut out right then.
All right, now, right? Coming up next, I want to talk a little something that's been on a lot of Blazers fans' minds. Are the Blazers better off without Anthony Simons and DeAndre Ayton? And why 3-game samples aren't always best indicators? Danny and Dusty, Tenney, the fan. Well, Trailblazers have won 3 games in a row, and there's a lot of people are just saying the Blazers are better off without Anthony Simons and DeAndre Ayton. I don't know if they are or if they aren't. All I know is that there's been 3 games. And in those 3 games, you've seen Shaedon Sharpe have his 2 best games of his career, and you've seen Donovan Clingan have the best game of his career, and you saw the Minnesota Timberwolves have one of the worst shooting nights they've ever had. I don't think you can draw any kind of actual conclusions out of that, because there's still 79 other games that you need to go through.
What we are seeing is a team that is exponentially better on the defensive end of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And would that translate with those guys out there too, with the way that everybody is kind of playing in unison right now? I don't know. And I think that we all know the limitations that Anthony Simons has to his game on that end of the mm-hmm. floor.
I'll tell you right now.
They've been well documented.
Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe aren't any further along.
No. And that's where it is that it's not like Shaedon is a guy who is a lockdown mm-hmm. defender. And Scoot looks... He looks lost.
Well, on ball, it's okay.
I'm talking as a full player, not on the defensive end.
Well, on
the
defensive end specifically, when he's off ball, he might... God, I hate saying this. He might be the worst in the league. It's he watches like a fan sometimes, mm-hmm. and it's like, brother, you can't do that.
The biggest criticism of Damian Lillard his first few years in the NBA was when he was not guarding the ball, he would be watching what the play was doing.
When
guys
you put him in front of him, you know, there's stuff there
because
he has physical tools, but off ball, it's horrendous. But I think what you've seen is the combination of Shaedon and Donovan having some monster games.
Tumani Kamara playing out of his gourd defensively.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be there regardless of who's on the floor. But I've seen a lot of people say, well, the ball's moving around better. It's like Shaedon Sharpe's not isolating. I'm like, Shaedon Sharpe hasn't scored outside of isolating. He can't run pick and rolls consistently. Like,
but when he is not on the floor, and that may be part of it. Like when he and Anthony are on the floor together, the ball will stop a heck of a lot more than it's stopping right now because two of those guys will end that possession.
And here's the other side.
Not like they've been great offensively in this.
No, they haven't.
3-game run either.
That's the thing, is they haven't been that great. The other side of this is, what happens when Shaedon Sharpe doesn't have a 30-point game? If Anthony Simons isn't there to give you the boost, which you haven't seen yet. Because Donovan Clingan, as great as he was on Wednesday night, got played off the floor
mm-hmm.
just the other day.
Yeah, on Sunday.
And if you didn't have Robert Williams III to cover that up, who had a tremendous game, it doesn't matter. And the same thing is true of Scoot Henderson.
But would DeAndre Ayton cover that up? Because I think that a lot of the similar limitations, obviously DeAndre Ayton with his experience in the NBA mm-hmm. and ability to have seen this before can adapt a lot better than Donovan Clingan, but stylistically, Robert Williams III was a guy who fit defending what Atlanta was trying to do far better.
He has the small ball ability to kind of come out and blitz. He's a better rim protector. Like, look, if you told me that Robert Williams III, like if he was as healthy as DA is consistently, as available as DA is consistently, he'd be a better player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wrote about Rob a couple days ago. He's a basketball savant. Like, is Rob a rocket scientist? No. But he understands spatially. Just, it's something you're either born with, you either have or you don't. There's no, like, you can get better at it, but to be at his level, he's not Jokic on offense, like on defense, but he's pretty damn close.
It's the same thing that makes great rebounders and great passers.
It's an intrinsic, like Dennis Rodman isn't the biggest, strongest, fastest guy. It's like he said in the doc, it's the boom, boom, doom, doom, you know, doing all the hand movements and everything. His brain, Kevin Love is 6'8.5", 6'9", is one of the best rebounders of his generation.
Yep.
Like, you have innate feel for that. And Robert Williams III has innate feel on both sides of the floor, but on defense, especially on offense, it's about allowing space to create. And when he dives hard. And I think the biggest, if you're going to point out a tangible thing that is different right now. Donovan and Rob both roll hard. And what that does for them offensively does open stuff up. Mm-hmm. And if DA was trying to do that, he just still wasn't doing it enough. And they were trying to shoehorn things into that. Now, when those guys come back, I don't know how different that's going to look or what's going to be look different or how it's going to look different. But I'm interested to see what it looks like offensively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's the thing. It's like, because if Ant reverts back to what he was, which has been one of the best kind of high volume shooters in the league, and you've got Shaden, then the offense can take off. And the defense that you're going to probably give up with both of them on the floor can be compensated for a little bit, at least. But we won't know because it's been three games.
Yeah. I just wonder about, the guy who's given really good minutes and has been a guy who's earned minutes is Delano Banton, too, rotationally.
Yes. And the question with him is going to be interesting. Is this Linsanity 2.0 or is this who he is?
I think it is maybe more of the flash in the pan.
I don't mean that rudely to him. Like I hope it's something that's like he has truly figured out.
But and I do too. I mean, obviously you hope that,
yeah.
And I think there's going to be a lot of Blazer fans that would not give the staff or Chauncey Billups any credit for, I don't know, taking a guy who was not seen as a guy who could play in the NBA and actually
empowering him. That's what this
earning a role.
That's what the staff does.
One thing that he has that. On the defensive end of the floor where nobody's going to be giving him any votes for all defensive NBA.
No.
But 6'8" makes a hell of a lot of
It covers
difference.
Up for a lot of things, and he's been very opportunistic with deflections and steals. I think he's leading the team in steals.
And that right there is that Anfernee Simons.
No, and Ant will be the first one to tell you that you know, he struggles defensively, but even more than that he's not a steals guy.
Yeah.
He's thought about, like, what if I was that guy?
And so I see where people are saying, hey, well, they're going to be better without him. Offensively, you still need to score points to win. And they've been winning these games by scoring, you know, what 110 against Atlanta, right? Not bad. 114 against Atlanta, 106 against the Timberwolves, and then the 122 against the Timberwolves where they shot out of their gourd. In that one.
You want to know something that's disgusting about Banton? Among wings, he is in the 100th percentile in block percentage at 2.3. Okay. For reference, Tumani Kamara is at 0.5% and in the 26th percentile. They're both classified as wings, okay? In steal percentage, Delano Banton is in the 99th percentile in the entire league for wings at 3.5%.
That right there is the... You're getting a lot on the offensive end, and that's going to be huge, but... Delano Banton's minutes go deuces, or Scoot's minutes go,
or you deuces. End up doing Delano Banton at the three kind of thing, which kind of defeats some of the purpose, right?
Yep.
Because if he's not on ball, he doesn't have necessarily the same value. His ability to get downhill is nerfed a little bit because the shooting is the thing that just kind of is the wild card, right? Like right now, he's shooting the living hell out of the ball from three,
and it's just he's green light, just go.
Like, let me pull it up right now. Banton is currently their best three-point shooter at 44% at 12 of 27 on the season. Their two best three-point shooters currently, hell, they're three best three-point shooters. There's no way you would get this. It's Banton, Tumani, and Chris Murray.
I think it says a lot about where this team is at offensively. 29th in the EA.
So, and again, it's been three games.
Yep.
See where it goes. I believe Ant is going on the trip. I think DA is going on the trip. I don't have any reason to think he's not, but I don't know if DA is going to play. I think Ant, coming off the illness, I think they're going to ramp him up and see how he does. But I don't know. Throwing him to the Wolves against OKC seems like maybe a bad idea.
Ant or Ayton?
No, like both of them. Like
both of them?
Hey, come on back. Here you go.
Well, when you get paid like those guys get paid, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't be Wolves you're throwing them to. You if you're available, you should play.
No, I mean, like, that's it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
like,
no,
like that's.
Yeah. I was like, no, you do.
No. It's like because now this OKC team's playing small.
Yeah,
and it's just a bit of a buzzsaw because they're playing Alex Caruso and Lou Dort at the center, and you don't really know what the hell to do with that.
Well, Delano Banton's what you do with it.
Yeah. figure it out. So it's going to be interesting to watch. I haven't formed any opinions on it either way because it's three games.
Yeah.
And you've had some wild, wild, wild splits from multiple guys. So see what this looks like in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 15 games. And then we can kind of make some judgments going from there. All right, coming up next, it's Tuesday afternoon. It's 3 o'clock, or 3 o'clock. It's 2 o'clock, which means it's time for three up, three down, three things we like, three things we didn't. Coming out of the NFL weekend that was here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.